The will of God will never change.
Job said, he's of one mind. And who shall turn him? What his soul desireth, even that he doeth. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things it was impossible, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Never changes. You know, we are subject to change at any time. We may set our heart and our mind to do something, and then change our mind. It just happens. That's the way we're built. Sometimes we can't help it. Yeah. But God never changes. Yeah. Sometimes we plan to do something, and due to unforeseen circumstances, we'll never bring it to pass. Yeah. Maybe a lack of power. Maybe we don't have the energy to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish. Or a lack of provision. We may decide to build a new building. And we run out of provisions. We have to change our plans. God never has that problem. He is almighty. He will never lack for energy to carry out his will. He never lacks provisions. All the gold and silver is his. Yeah. Of cattle on 1,000 hills.
That's right.
Yeah. All of the property. The entire earth belongs to him. All those natural resources that are there belong to him.
That's
right. So he's never going to lack provisions. In Romans 1:20, Paul talks about his eternal power. Yeah. He's all powerful.
He'll never lack for energy.
Over 50 times in the scriptures, God is talked about as the Almighty.
All power belongs to God. There's no power except God's power. In Revelation chapter 1, in verse 8,
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, but saith the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty. Not one of the Almighties. The Almighty. The only Almighty. Nobody else is equal to him. He has the power to do what he wants to do. Everything is at his disposal. Yeah. Nothing that he needs is His. Everything is His. It all belongs to Him. He will never run out of provisions to do what He desires to do. In Psalms 50, the psalmist says, every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills, and I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. All the resources that he needs, no matter what, is his. They're at his disposal, instantly at his disposal. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. All of it belongs to me. He doesn't have to change. He can't change. How can he change for the better? I mean, when you're almighty, when you're immutable, you can't change.
That's right.
There's nothing better. And if he changed for the worse, he's not God.
That's right.
He must be immutable. His will is immutable. In other words, he's never going to change his mind. His will is eternal. His will is immutable. And it's free. His will is absolutely free. It's not conditioned on any circumstances. It's not conditioned on the actions of men or of animals. Or the wind. It is not conditioned on anything outside of himself. There is a sense that you could say that his will is not free. In the strictest sense. He cannot will to sin. He's restricted by his holiness. Just like man's will is restricted by his unholiness, his depravity, God's will is absolutely holy. It'll always be holy. You remember last night we read to you from Romans chapter 9? Let's look at that one more time. I don't know about you, but I never tire of reading this passage of Scripture. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Verse 14. For he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Men have no effect upon the will of God. All your prayers have no effect on the will of God. The will of God should affect our praying.
Amen.
Yeah. But it's not going to affect him.
That's
For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt yet say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Yeah. If he's done all that, if he does everything according to his own will, how can he find fault with me? Yeah. Nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessel of wrath fitted to destruction? Free will is free according to his nature. An absolute holy nature. An all powerful nature. In chapter 11, the writer, the Apostle Paul, says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Nobody. Nobody. Not the highest angel. God never asked counsel from anybody. No need to, because he knows everything. All wisdom is his. Yeah. Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Yeah. Everything. All things, he says. Of him, through him, and to him are all things. Yeah. In Isaiah chapter 45, in verse 5, he says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, and that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Yeah. Shall there be evil in the city and thou hast not done it? God does whatever he pleases.
Sure does.
Whenever he pleases. Wherever he pleases. With whom deliver he pleases. Yeah.
I agree with Brother John Gill when he said, it may be clearly discerned that foreseen faith, holiness, and good works cannot be the cause of God's will in election of any unto eternal life, and so the contrary, no cause in his will in the rejection of others. Yeah.
That's right.
Nothing caused God to do anything. I'm amazed at fellows that talk about being able to change the mind of God by prayer. And you know, there was a fellow a long time ago, his last name was Hyde. I don't know if you ever heard of him or not. He's called Praying Hyde. He was on a ship, and it was in a dense fog. You couldn't see nothing. You couldn't hardly see your hand in front of your face. And the story goes that Praying Hyde went down below, in his secret place, and prayed and prayed and prayed. And when he got through praying, the fog lifted. And they acclaimed him so great because he had prayed that fog out of existence. He didn't do that. No! God lifted the fog. Now God may have inclined Hyde's heart to pray for the lifting of the fog. I can understand that. Yeah. But I'll never understand how a man could think that he could change God's mind and get him to do something that he never intended to do. It will never happen. God's will is free. He's not bound by any restrictions other than himself. And another thing that we want to note is that God's will, being eternal and immutable and free, is absolutely sovereign.
That's right.
Now, no doubt that the majority of the religious world does not believe that. Not for a minute. Because they are the ones who think they can pray God to do things that he didn't intend to do.
That's right.
Yeah. Our text says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and earth and in the seas and all the places. Anywhere. Anything that pleased God, he did it. And everything that he did pleased him. Yeah. Again, the psalmist says, our God is in heaven, he hath done whatsoever he pleased. Daniel pens for us these words. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he that is God doeth his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say unto him, what doest thou? His will is sovereign. God doesn't depend on anybody for anything. He's not dependent upon me. He's not dependent upon you. His will
is absolutely perfect. It's sovereign. None can stay his hand. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. Peter goes on to say that that inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away. Boy, I'm glad of that. In whom, that is, in Christ Jesus, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Not some things, not many things, not a few things, but all things. Everything that God pleased, He did. Whatever pleased Him. He didn't have to ask permission. Who was there to ask permission? Who was there to counsel Him when He spoke? And the world came into existence. No. He willed it to be. And it was. There was no one else there but the triune Godhead. Yeah. No one to counsel Him. He didn't need any counsel. He had all the power He needed. He had all the wisdom and knowledge He needed. Yeah. And He spoke and said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Yeah. He said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." And the entire population of the world, from Adam to now, came into existence. According to the counsel of His own will. In Isaiah 46, He tells us to do something that some of us have a hard time doing. Remember. Remember the former things of old. For I'm God. There's none else. I'm God. There's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel will stand, I will do all my pleasure." You look around and we see a scarcely populated set of pews. Why aren't they full? Why aren't there more folks here? Because that was not God's good pleasure to have them here. You say, "Well, why?" I don't know why. Those are the secret things. One of the secret things that belongs to God. God could will the building to fill up if it pleased Him. My counsel will stand, I'll do all my pleasure. All my pleasure.
In Isaiah 14:24, Isaiah tells us, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. Verse 27, for the Lord of hosts hath purposed, who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Nobody. Not one. Nobody can disannul the hand of God. Nobody can turn his hand back, because nobody has the power. Satan, as powerful as he is, cannot deter the hand of God. Wherever God pleases. Sometimes he's pleased to use Satan. And he does. Sometimes he uses him to make us stumble and fall flat on our face. And when we get up, we know we didn't do that by ourselves. We stumbled, we fell. We had a difficult time, but we didn't get up by ourselves. God gets us up. God raises us up as it pleases him and brings glory to God. God is never frustrated, never disappointed. Sometimes it's hard when you think about these things. But he says the king's heart is in the Lord's hands. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. Listen, this does not just refer to kings. It refers to you and you and me. Our heart is in the hand of God. And he turns it. And I pray this morning that God would be pleased to turn our heart back to him more fervently. That our old heart, like we said last night, might be melted like wax and shaped by the bare hand of God. We will do his will. His will be done. Whether you like it or whether you don't, it's going to be done. I want God's will done in my life. I want it to be acceptable to me in every facet of his will. Whatever he does to me, I want to say, Lord, I'm in your hands. You do with me like it pleases you. And make me happy about it. I don't like to find myself unhappy with God. It's a sad situation, but it happens sometimes. But he's never frustrated or disappointed. If he wants the king to go one way, he'll go that way. Just like he did, you remember we talked about Cyrus. King David, the man after God's own heart. Oh, he did some atrocious things and sinned against God. God had a purpose in that. I don't know exactly what it was. But when something like that happens to me, I try to pray, Lord, help me here. Show me what this is about. I know your will is going to be done in my life. I want to bring praise and honor and glory to you. Yeah. And maybe at that particular time it's not doing that. Yeah. I want it to. Now Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Isaiah says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary?" There's no searching of his understanding. I mean, you can meditate on it day and night. Those secret things, you're wasting your time. Because you're not ever going to figure them out. No. We need to concentrate our mind and our heart and our soul and our body on doing what God has revealed to us to do. Yeah. God said in Isaiah 46:10, "My counsel will stand. I will do all my pleasure." His will is absolutely sovereign. In creation, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Hebrews 11 and 3, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." A sovereign God. His sovereign will at work, executing the desires of his heart. Yeah. In everything. In preservation. God's will is done in the preservation of the entire universe. Yeah. One of these days, this old earth is going to go up in smoke. You never fear. You won't be here if you're a child of God when it does. And on top of that, he's going to build a new one. Just like he wants it. He won't ask no counsel on building that one either. No. He's not going to ask me. He's not going to ask you. Neither one of us are smart enough for God to ask us anything. "For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." That's preservation. That's God preserving the universe just like he wants to. Yeah. And then we read a while ago in Romans chapter 9 that his sovereign will is executed in the salvation of the people of God. Yeah. From start to finish, God's will is accomplished in the salvation of his people. There's not one that's going to go astray and be left behind. No. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Yeah. All of them. Yeah. "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Yeah. And whom I will, I harden it." It's God's will that makes the difference. Not man's will. It's so depraved and corrupt it couldn't make that kind of a momentous decision. I don't care what the ground say or the witness or anybody else. Man's will is not capable of making that momentous decision to follow Jesus Christ. He must, like Brother Lassay said a while ago, dealing with the Apostle Paul, God, in His sovereign mercy, must come and make that initial move. Operate on that old hard, stony heart. Put a new one in there. A fleshly heart, a soft heart. One that's pliable. And then God begins to work. When He gives us life, spiritual life, that's when we get the new heart. Then we begin to feel convicted. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, O God, done this evil in thy sight. And that old leper that we referred to last night, he didn't need some preacher to come tell him what a wicked man he was, that he had leprosy. He knew what was wrong with him. And so do we. When God's Holy Spirit comes and makes us alive, He gives us that knowledge that we are desperately in need of something. And not that we're just desperately in need of something. We're in desperately need of redemption.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what we need. And God makes us aware. And repentance and faith. Brother Lucian, I think it's hand in hand. I don't think you're getting one without the other. I mean, if you don't have faith, brother, what are you going to repent about? Who are you going to repent to? If you don't have faith in God that He's going to forgive you like He said He would. You got to have both of them. Yeah. And the will of God provides that. Yeah. That sovereign will provides all that's necessary. Yeah. The Lamb to be slain. Yeah. The goat that was killed and his blood sprinkled on the Day of Atonement. And the other goat where Aaron went and laid his hands on the head of that old goat, confessed the sins of the people of God, transferred them to the goat, and they led him away by a fit man. Reckon why the Lord said that. By a fit man. A man that would do what he's told to do. A man that was capable of taking that goat on out into the wilderness and turning him loose and carrying those sins away. They're gone. God forgot about them. I try to forget about them, but I don't do a very good job. Seems like I can remember that better than anything. But God forgot about them. We're talking about an absolutely holy, omnipotent, omniscient God. Can forget. Those sins are hidden behind His back. We tried to hide them from God for a long time, didn't we?
Yeah,
we did. You can't hide them from God, but he can hide them from himself. And he did. Never to be remembered anymore. You know, he said he put them in a bag and tied them up, cast them out into the deep. He didn't throw them out there where the tide could bring them back and they'd be remembered. He threw them out in the deep where they'd be gone forever, never to be remembered anymore by him. Thank God this afternoon that God and his will is absolutely sovereign. He does as he pleases. A God that cannot do as he pleases is not worthy to be called God at all. Does as he pleases, always as he pleases, everywhere that he pleases, any time that he pleases, according to his good pleasure. See, I don't understand how so much evil could be according to God's good pleasure. Who said you had to understand it? Certainly not me. There's too much I don't understand. But I know that if it was not God's good pleasure, it would never get done. No matter what. Praise God today that his will is eternal, it's immutable, it's free, and it's sovereign. My Heavenly Father is who I'm talking about. You want to brag on somebody, brag on him. Not on yourself. Not on the preacher. On the Savior. The Redeemer. Thank you for your patience, for bearing with us, your long suffering. This evening, I want to speak to you on one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I hope you'll come and be here. It has much to do with Jesus Christ. And I hope you'll come and be with us. Pray for me that I might be physically able to carry out the message, to bring it to you as it would please God. I appreciate it. Brother Pastor.
Can you imagine God wanting to do something and a man won't let him do it? That's not the God we heard about this morning. Would you please stand? Brother Joey, come lead us in time of invitation, please.